All right, welcome back. It's Afternoons with Amos for a Tuesday. Every county in Indiana has a sheriff. It says so in the Indiana Constitution. The Constitution says every county shall have a sheriff. And the sheriff does law enforcement in the jail and da-da-da-da-da-da. It also says that the only person that can put a check on a sheriff is the coroner. Mm-hmm. If y'all remember, there was some mess in Hancock County where the sheriff in Hancock County did something he wasn't supposed to do, and the county prosecutor found the evidence, and law enforcement found the evidence, and they called up the coroner and said, coroner, we got the evidence against it. You got to arrest, and under the Constitution, the coroner is the only one that can pull the coat of the constitutional sheriff following the Constitution. So somebody in Marion County came up with the bright idea that sheriffs and prosecutors and clerks and blah and all the constitutional officers who serve not the citizens of Indianapolis but the residents of Marion County should, under a new law that is being rammed through the legislature, even though only three people have wanted this. Three people. And the sheriff and the prosecutor and the county clerk and the coroner would have to go on bended knee four times a year to some paper-pushing flunky called a city controller and say, please, Mr. Controller, can I have some more money to run? It sounds like, what's that movie, Oliver? Food glory. Or it's like those panhandlers downtown that the mayor don't like. I thought the mayor didn't like panhandling. This sounds like what he would do is have the sheriff panhandle. And the mayor was on Unity in the Community a couple weeks ago and beat up Sheriff John Layton. Beat him up, and the sheriff is here. John Layton. Sheriff, how you doing?
Oh, well, blessed. I'm very blessed to be here.
What is this all about? This sounds like two guys fighting for turf. Is that what this is?
No, maybe one guy. I'm not fighting for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, the City County Council gave me my marching orders when they gave them to Sheriff Anderson back during the merge and consolidation of IPD with part of the Marion County Sheriff's Office.
Right.
And from that point on, we've been taking those marching orders that the council gave us, mm-hmm. I think the Sheriff's Office has been doing a very good job. The problem seems to be that we can't always predict exactly what everything is going to cost. Mm-hmm. When it comes to jail medical, inmate, and arrestee medical, along with things like meals for these, you know, we serve 7,500 meals a day.
Right.
These sort of things over a period of time cannot tell exactly what they're going to cost. And then you throw in the fact that when Wishard Hospital decided to build their new hospital, which, by the way, I was 100% behind the new hospital,
right.
Wishard Hospital. But what happened was to the sheriff's office is prior to that and throughout the history that I can ever remember, and that's too long, unfortunately, mm-hmm. Wishard Hospital nor the Marion County Health Department, they did not charge the Marion County Sheriff for those inmates.
Right.
Well, when they decided to build a new hospital, things changed, and we started
to get the money to pay to, yeah, exactly. To pay the workers, right?
But the big problem there, the money was not in our budget to do that, nor was it put in our budget. And what was put in our budget, I should take that back. There was a small amount put in the budget to cover those things, but it didn't come close. So as the years went by and those monies were not put in our budget, we had to go back, like any political office or any office held, whether it be from the President of the United States down, they have to go back to the Congress, they have to go back to the City Council, mm-hmm. and make adjustments. And that's all we'd had to do. But unfortunately now the other side is trying to call that I mismanaged money and all. It's sad because we have a county to protect and take care of, and to get into this one-upmanship and egos, I don't have any time for that.
Let me go back to the sheriff before Sheriff Anderson, which mm-hmm. I believe was Sheriff McAtee.
It's Sheriff Cotty.
Sheriff Cotty. My other good friend. Correct me if I'm wrong, but were there instances when Sheriff Cotty, the jail expenses went up more than he was anticipating, or food expenses went up more than he was anticipating? or extra investigations because the sheriff was doing investigations at the time, maybe some investigation that required overtime and what have you, that Sheriff Cotty would have to would have gone back to the Republican-controlled city county council and say, yes, I know I gave you a budget, but these circumstances have happened, and this is what I need.
Absolutely. Year after year. Year after year, the sheriff, and not just the sheriff, but other agencies as well. Be it IPD back in those days or other agencies would have to go back. You put out a plan that you think is going to work,
right?
And when it doesn't go your way. But there's also been a time or two, believe it or not, that money's been given back. And I can remember those days. Oh, I long for them, believe me. But you never can really predict the future, and no one can. And by the way, the first year that I was in office and I had to go back to the city council, it was a Republican council that caught us up, that understood and caught us up on about $9 million of overage when it came to arrestee and inmate health care.
When the committee had the hearing the other week, I didn't realize the chair of that committee, Representative, was it Mahan?
Yes.
Was a former sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And seems he's still mad at Marion County for having IMPD and the sheriff merge.
Exactly.
And I don't think he realizes there's still some people in Marion County that are still mad that there's the merger. And at one point, I thought he was being disrespectful to Sheriff Anderson, but the more I listened to Chairman Mahan, I realized it wasn't personal, it was institutional.
It was institutional, in my opinion. He wasn't personally mad at Sheriff Anderson. How could anybody be personally mad at Sheriff Anderson? No, he was part of the Indiana Sheriff's Association when the merge came about, and I don't know of a police officer in Central Indiana, being the sheriff or IPD or anyone that wanted that merge. And I've said that on this show before. No police officer wanted the merge because we all looked at police work in Marion County and around Marion County. It's going well. It's a well-oiled machine, and why are we fixing something that's not broken? And I think that still reigns today, unfortunately. I think some of those ideas are still out there, and there's still some animosity about the merge in the first place. But, you know, when Frank Anderson went through that merge for the first year, he was over everything.
Yeah.
He was over IMPD. He was what we would call in any other part of America, the super sheriff. But for some odd reason, and politics probably was involved to some degree, the back door wasn't shut. And therefore, when the new mayor came in, the possibility and the probability, and therefore it happened that the new mayor took over IMPD from the elected sheriff of Marion County.
There's another provision in this power grab bill that when I read it, it is very confusing, but I thought it read that you as the sheriff would report to the appointed public safety director. Did I read that correctly?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Public safety director is in charge of law enforcement.
Law enforcement, and that is true.
Okay.
That came along with the merge.
Okay.
The best way I can describe this is the Marion County Sheriff's deputies that you see out there, they have the ability to make any arrest from the state of Indiana. You see, the merge did not take any arrest powers away from the sheriff of Marion County. So we still had the same power to do what we did before. What the merge did was we split up responsibilities.
Right.
So therefore, just because a sheriff's deputy sees someone reckless driving or drunk driving or something to that effect doesn't mean they can't make the arrest. It's just not their main responsibility to do that day in and day out and 24 hours a day. We have other responsibilities that I'm quite proud of, and I think the sheriff's deputies do one heck of a job, along with the civilian support staff that back them up and make sure that they're as safe as possible out there. Civilian support staff such as our 911 dispatchers, the intelligence unit, who we have several civilians in there. There's so much more to police work or sheriff's office than just cops and robbers. But so many people look at it like that. If you're not one of the cops and robbers out there, you know, you're not a part of police work. That's not it whatsoever.
Let me raise this issue. Obviously, there's a lot of focus on this bill that's in the legislature. We were talking about a little bit when you came into the studio. where how do we make our public schools, particularly at the elementary level, safer? And I think you well know there are armed school police officers, I think, in all of the high schools here in Marion County, some of the middle schools, but the elementary schools are kind of and I think the original intent of the law was to encourage school districts and charter schools to work and get school safety officers who could be retired military or retired law enforcement officers, people that already have, you know, the training. We are losing our Indianapolis police officers to retirement, and they don't have a recruit class. So there's going to be a shortfall of police officers for the next 2 to 3 to 4 years. Are we at a point where this county is going to have to look at members of the Marion County Sheriff's Department to backstop IMPD because we could be a couple of hundred police officers short of where we were maybe a year ago?
There's a possibility of that at some point in the future. You know, they say the more things change, the more they stay the same. But I'm not sure you're going to see it in the near future. Mm-hmm. We both have our marching orders and our responsibilities, and IMPD has the responsibility of neighborhood patrols and investigation, and the sheriff has things like the jail, sexual offender registry, 911 operation. We have the warrants. There's 20,000 warrants on the book. We have plenty of responsibility. I have offered many times, I think you know that,
right.
I have extended the olive branch many times in the past under Director Straub and others. There's right. been a few directors. So we have extended that olive branch, and it has been met with some skepticism on their part and cold shoulders. Now, after offering to help out on things like the Monon Trail and things like that, I think the administration of the city was looking at it as, okay, Layton's trying to take over everything. That's the farthest thing from the truth. But I was elected to protect people, and I will do whatever I have to do to serve and protect the people of Marion County. If I see that something's getting out of hand, I'm going to do what I was elected to do. But I will have to say that speaking with Director Riggs on several occasions now, he and I seem to have a good working relationship. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that if Director Riggs sees the need for some reinforcements, my phone will ring. And we'll be ready when that time comes.
Let me go to Stella at 239-1310 with Sheriff. Hi, Stella.
Hi, Amos. And Sheriff Layton, you're one of my people that I think that is about business. I like your attitude. I voted for you as well.
Thank you.
However, I just want to kind of get to the point. My question and my first question is, when they do the budgeting, is there a contingency fund for the sheriff department with the, because we don't know where crime's going to go. I mean, I know there are some people that sit down and kind of do a prediction on that. But in terms of forecasting, do they set aside X number of dollars just in case, like a rainy day fund or contingency fund? That's my first question. Then my second question for Amos,
mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about maybe 2 to 3 minutes daily teaching people the process of the legislature, you know, why it's important to vote? How do you overturn a vote? Because I know a lot of times when we have an election coming up, I hear a lot of it then, but on a daily basis to help engage people from a political, economic, and social standpoint to understand what's really happening, and it's the lawmakers that are making a lot of these decisions that impact our daily lives. So I'm going to get off the phone and listen to your reply, but that's what my two questions are about. Thank you kindly.
That's a great question. When you budget, do you budget a rainy day fund?
No, we're not actually. You know, years ago there was there's an ordinance on the books that allows the mayor and the controller to watch over the funds, not to be able to say yes or no, like is this new law may
right.
go into effect, but the mayor and the controller does look over the funds, and we work with them. But over at least far back as I can remember and working on the budget with Frank Anderson and then into my terms,
right.
there's no room for that. You give them a budget of what you think it's going to cost. Now, keep in mind, you go before the council,
mm-hmm.
and what, as a matter of fact, every year we have gone before them telling them exactly what it's going to cost to run this office, this Marion County Sheriff's Office, everything, the jail, everything. And that what we give them is always slashed by 10%, 20%. And then they say, well, here's what you have to do it on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so at the end of the year, by golly, guess what? We're short exactly what we told you last fall we were going to need. Yeah. And here's the proof of it, black and white, line item by line item. So that is where that we're being told now, or we're being accused of being over budget from the money that we asked for in the first place. They didn't give us. Then we had to go back and ask for it again, and they said, you're over budget. No, we're not over budget. This
you
is
all
it
cut it.
Yeah, they cut it and then come back and say, we're over budget. But it's just political enough, just political enough that they can make it look sleazy. And that's what's going on here. And it's a shame because it's the people in Marion County who lose.
And I think also implicit in Stella's question, folks from Marion County, and I think Democrats are going to be opposing in the House this bill. But the people that are pushing this bill are people that live nowhere near Marion County, really don't care about Marion County. It's the few Republicans in Marion County saying, well, you need to help me out, help me out. Are you usually... when some kind of law comes up that impacts police and sheriff, they'll either testify for it or against it. Were you surprised that there were no law enforcement personnel that testified in favor of these changes?
That doesn't surprise me at all. You have to have led so far to be able to lead people in a certain direction. And when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to public safety, you've had to work there to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You had to have something to do with it. But so many times our legislatures, God love them, a lot of them are attorneys. A lot of them come from different walks of life. And that's all well and good and understandable. But they need to have some technical advice on some of these laws and what's going to work and what's not going to work when it comes to how are you going to budget the safety of people of that city. When they've never been behind the wheel of a squad car, they've never been in a fight in a domestic disturbance, or they've never had to call for a jail wagon and know what all of these things mean to police and the protection of those we serve.
Does this also mean the prosecutor, when he testified against this legislation, raised the specter of having someone that didn't understand law enforcement making decisions that could negatively impact cases? He's trying the ability, particularly on very expensive cases like the Officer Broussard case, which is an out-of-town case, which raises the expenses, or a death penalty case that could come along. Could this also interfere with cooperating with other agencies? Let's say, for example, the feds come to you. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, Sheriff Layton, we're getting ready to bust a whole lot of people around here, and we need some help serving some warrants. That's what you do. That's constitutionally, you're supposed to go out here and serve some warrants.
That's our responsibility.
And all of a sudden, you can say, hey, feds, I'd love to help you, but this little controller won't give me any extra money so my guys can, you know, help bust down some doors with some warrants and catch up the bad guys.
Yeah.
And that's impacting – isn't that impacting law enforcement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But – if I may, a sidestep to that last statement is every day we do work with the U.S. Marshal's Office and to go after fugitives and warrants, people wanted on warrants on the high visibility warrants, robbery and homicide and everything. So we do work with the feds on that daily. We have deputies over there. They have U.S. Marshal deputies in our office. But let me say this: I have had talks with the current controller's office and the controller himself. I think he gets it. I think he knows what's going on here, and he understands. It's taken a couple of years, and everybody needs a catch-up time to be educated in certain areas. But I do believe our controller right now understands what the sheriff's office is up against, but he has a boss.
But here's the other problem. The other problem is the Constitution of Indiana mandates what you do. Every other county, the county council appropriates the money, and the county commissioners make sure that everything's according to Hoyle. But the county commissioners can't order a sheriff
to do or not do. They can't order the clerk to do or not do. They can't tell the coroner how to run their office because they're just as independent as those county commissioners. At some point, if this passes and if the governor doesn't read it and allows it to become law, could there be a legal challenge?
Oh, I think there probably, more than likely will be a legal challenge on that. You're absolutely right. It's a constitutional office. And the very core of this goes to separation of powers. You know, there was a Revolutionary War where we wanted to get away from the monarchy of England. And now it seems we're going back to a monarchy, one person in charge of everything. And I know some corporations may think a CEO state of mind is the way to run, but that's a corporation. That's not the flesh and blood of the people of Marion County. And I think in the end, the people of Marion County will not stand for their separation of powers to go away. That's what keeps us strong. And to have one or a group of individuals running everything with the same frame of mind, that's not healthy. Not healthy for our county.
Did the sponsor of the bill in the Senate, Senator Richard Young, ever sit down with you about this?
Never. My phone didn't even ring. No.
Did Representative Kershaw have sponsored a similar piece of legislation in the House? Did she say, hey, Sheriff, we want to talk about this?
Nope. Never heard from him.
Did the mayor's lobbyist, some guy named Joe Loftus, did he ever sit down and say, Sheriff, we were thinking of doing this?
Said hi to him in the meeting just last week when we, at the chairman's meeting, at the hearing.
And did the mayor ever pick up the phone and say, you know, John, I've got some concerns. Can we sit and, you know, go have a soda pop somewhere and some ideas on some changes I want to do? I want to talk to you about that.
No, that has never happened. I've talked to the mayor one time right after I came in office. I went over to his office to talk to him. And so that's the extent of our conversation.
Since 2008?
Yes, sir. One time.
Wait a minute. The governor has met with all the members of the legislature, Democratic and Republican. He's inviting folks up to the House. And you – oh, come on. That's something that would be in a Lifetime movie of the week. You're telling me, as the constitutional sheriff of this county, you have only had one conversation with the mayor of this city and county one time since he's been elected?
One-on-one, yes. We've been in meetings at the same time, one-on-one conversation one time, and it's about 15 or 20 minutes up in his office, and that's right after I was elected and took office.
I'm calling it Spike Lee. We got to do a movie about this. This would be a Spike Lee movie. I can tell you, nobody. But this is Hollywood. This doesn't happen in the real world.
Well, who's going to play me? Can I choose somebody?
We'll find out during the break. We'll figure out who would play John Layton in the Spike Lee movie, Why Doesn't the Mayor Talk to Anybody? We'll also figure out who Spike Lee would cast. No, not Wesley Snipes as the mayor. That doesn't even fit. It's After News with Avis, brought to you in part by the Indiana Civil Rights Commission. Welcome back. There is some breaking news from the Houston area. We have another school incident, but this time it is not a school shooting. It is a school stabbing. Allegedly, there have been multiple victims suffering stab wounds at Lone Star College. This is a college. We don't know whether this is a nonprofit college or a for-profit college in suburban Harris County, which is the county that houses Houston, Texas, one of the largest counties in the country. There have been multiple victims, depending upon the news reports that I'm seeing, anywhere between 8 and 14 persons injured, some of whom have been transported to hospital, others of whom with minor wounds. There is a suspect in custody, according to the Harris County Sheriff's Office. We're getting this from KPRC Television, Channel 2 in Houston. And again, this is involving a school, but it's not a shooting. And of course, it's Texas, and so everybody's going to wonder, wait a minute, where was all the guns in Texas that was supposed to be there? See, sometimes the guns don't necessarily, you know, stop anything in these kind of things. Anyway, 239-1310. Oh, during the break, we decided that if Spike Lee did a movie of why Mayor Ballard doesn't talk to people, including the sheriff of Marion County, the sheriff would be played by Harrison Ford.
That's probably better than my choice.
His was Tom Selleck. See, CBS said Tom. You know, now that Tom is, what is he, the police commissioner of New York, or Tom could do that, but Tom would have to shave the mustache off.
No, you get a hold of Spike Lee, I'll grow mine back.
You'll grow yours. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is to the phones at Anonymous. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, I heard the mayor a couple of months ago. He was on somebody's show. And somebody said they got pulled over by a sheriff. And the mayor laughed. He said, I don't know what for. He said, because they don't have police. They don't have that power. The only power they got is over the jail. So I'm hearing conflicting things. What's going on in this city?
Well, you're listening to the constitutionally elected sheriff who we still have all the power at the sheriff's office to make arrests when necessary that we ever did. None of that was diminished with the ordinance. Only the responsibilities were diminished, not the power to arrest or anything else. So I don't know where that information was coming from, but
Mayor over you?
Absolutely not. No, you elected me totally separate. As a constitutional office, you always elect a sheriff, and it's totally separate from the mayor. But that's what this bill is about. They're trying to put this bill through where the mayor will have say-so over the budget of the sheriff and how the sheriff does business. So it could change the way we do business, but one way or another, you know, you have to play with the cards you're dealt, and that's what I'll be doing, and I'll be doing the best job I can as your sheriff, and we'll just wait till maybe the dealer changes.
Okay, because we need to get the situation straightened out, because the mayor's saying one thing, you're saying another.
Well,
thank you.
Well, the Anonymous, the fact remains the sheriff cannot be gotten rid of. You would have to amend the entire state constitution to eliminate the position and move the duty someplace else. And part of this also is I don't even think the mayor has ever read Indiana's constitution. And if you're listening in the mayor's office, if he has, he can call me. Or you all can call me. Y'all know the secret number. And straighten this out. Let me go to Reverend Ajabu at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Miss, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. And Sheriff Layton?
How are you today, sir?
Man, oh, God is good to me.
As to us.
I truly wish that leadership in this city had the integrity that you have displayed as the sheriff of this county.
Thank you, sir.
And I just want to say it, and people... No, I don't say things without meaning things, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, that humbles me, and I appreciate your thoughts on that. The good Lord gives it all to us, and whatever we can turn around and use for the people, you know, that's why He put us here. And so I do my best, and hopefully it will come out right, and you and He will both be pleased.
I got a question for you.
Yes, okay. Sir.
When you were made aware of a deputy performing his duties in a way that you saw to be not right, unconstitutional, and I'm talking about when the deputy was caught on camera beating up the inmate there.
Yes.
I read where you advised the inmate of his civil rights.
Yes, sir.
And I'm asking, was that under the Indiana, does the Indiana Civil Rights Commission have authority over rights violations in the jail?
Oh, well, they can definitely investigate. But believe me, when it comes to civil rights violations, I get to the investigation a lot quicker than anybody else. I don't stand for violations of civil rights. My deputies know that. And I think that particular instance illustrates exactly the view we take on it.
And yeah, I agree 101%. Yeah. But I'm just trying to understand. I know that you have the right to investigate, and Lord knows we have interacted, and you've done it. I can't speak highly enough of you. I really can't. You know, but I'm just trying to understand the authority of the Indiana Civil Rights Commission when it comes to public offices such as the police and the sheriff, prosecutor, even the mayor.
Oh,
do they have the authority to go after them?
Absolutely. They have the authority to investigate, and then they take it on up the ladder within the state government. So, yes, they do have the ability and the authority to investigate.
And maybe save that question for when the Civil Rights Commission is here in our second hour on Friday. Jamal Smith will be.
I just want to say one more time, Amos.
Real quick.
Thank God for Sheriff Layton.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Ann at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. My question is, I don't understand why we need to have two different types of law enforcement. We're not a major metropolis. And I understand that the sheriff is an elected position, but his staff is not.
First of all, hold on a second. Every county in this country has a sheriff. There's 3,140-some-odd counties in the United States. Every one of them has a sheriff, and I think in most of the states, the sheriff is an office enshrined in that state's constitution.
Okay.
So in most places, there is a sheriff's department that has law enforcement responsibilities as well as jail responsibilities as well as responsibilities to be like the officers that keep order in courtrooms. That's the basic responsibilities of sheriffs, whether they're in Indiana or Illinois or New York State or Arizona. Then local communities, cities, and towns have their own police departments. Okay? So
why not combine them? Why are we having these two different departments, and then we have this animosity here going on?
Well, here's the reason. When UNIGOV was created umpteen years ago, they did not merge the police and sheriff at that time. And then Bart Peterson came along and said, hey, we could save money by merging the police and the sheriff. So he started it. And then there's been fussing and feuding ever since when Mayor Ballard came in. You know, the elected sheriff was over the police department. He, the mayor, wanted to be over the police department, so he went and ran to the legislature and got the law changed. After the legislature changed the law to put the sheriff over the police department. Other cities that are consolidated cities, Jacksonville, Louisville, and Nashville, have consolidated sheriff and police departments. They're all one. Indianapolis.
And do they have disputing going on there?
Do they? No.
Right.
I don't know what feuding you're talking about.
The sheriff doesn't know what.
What are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, you're on the radio station, you know, obviously with concerns on this basic topic of the sheriff, the mayor trying to eliminate or amend the Constitution or try to, or whatever he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, if we consolidated, would we have this issue?
Here's the problem that we come into. When they consolidated UNIGOV, it was only to consolidate the city agencies, okay? It was never designed to consolidate county agencies like sheriff and clerk and coroner and assessor and county treasurer, the county-wide agencies where they have the people that run them are elected by the residents of all the county. The other thing is you can't merge and eliminate an office that's in the state constitution.
Right.
The reason
I'm asking that is because a situation occurred for me a couple of months back.
Okay.
I was in a car accident on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled over. I called the non-emergency number. And a sheriff was passing by. He stopped and, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay, but I still need an officer to take this report. Oh, well, somebody's on the way, and he kept going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you're law enforcement. You should do whatever needs to be done at that moment in time,
I see
whether
exactly.
I'm injured or not.
Yeah, I see exactly
so
where you're
law
coming from.
Law enforcement is law enforcement. If you want to be treated as equal, you should do equal jobs.
Let me ask a question because I think I understand where Ann is coming from. If that could that deputy have started the report and waited until the IMPD officer arrived?
No, in fact, in reality, the sheriff's office on occasion has been chided for doing just that.
Who chided you?
Well, people within the administration of IMPD, which actually the public safety director at the time.
Oh, that was Straubing them.
Yeah, there is this division where certain ones does not want the sheriff's office to do any kind of law enforcement. And like the one guy said a while ago, he was told that the sheriff can't do. That's not true. There is a lot of confusion. And we have done our best to educate folks. But I'm glad to hear that sheriff's deputy stopped by to make sure you weren't hurt. If you had to wait a little while on an IMPD car to get there to take the report, I'll have to apologize for that. But the bottom line is,
I could have been handled and I could have been on my way. Traffic would not have been stopped. Traffic was backed up. I was on the highway.
Main thing is you were not hurt.
It created a whole lot.
Wait, hold on a second. You're on the interstate, correct?
Yes.
Where was state police? That's under state police jurisdiction.
I don't know. That's my point. You know,
so what you're saying is a deputy
driving by and he stops and says, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm okay, but you've got traffic backed up behind me. I'm not moving my vehicle until I get a report." Mm-hmm. And you just keep on going, and I'm still in traffic 40 minutes later waiting for somebody to show up.
Well,
Hold on, Ann. I'm going to ask one question. I may want you to do something. Ann, when the officer finally responded, was it state police or IMPD?
It was state.
And see, state police, as I understand, this is where it does get confusing for ordinary taxpayers like you. State police have the primary jurisdiction for policing the interstates. That's their turf, and including
right,
when there's
your law enforcement. You're law enforcement. So if I'm on death's door because state police has jurisdiction on the highway and I'm bleeding to death, and the state trooper drives by and stops, "Oh, you're bleeding to death. Okay, did you call for 911?" Yeah.
No,
okay,
but
the deputy asked you that.
But I think, Ann, that would have been different. If you had been injured, they would have called and they would have remained in there. Do you remember the day that happened?
Because you're creating a backlog on the highway or wherever the situation occurred.
Let me ask a question. You remember when that happened?
Yes.
You do?
It was, yes.
Okay, I want you to
hold. It was the week of Valentine's Day.
Okay, of this year?
Yes, of this year.
All right. If you would be so kind as to hold on and give Chris, the gentleman that you talked to when you called me, your name and a number where you can reach during the day. The folks from the sheriff's department can track back with the state police and get the police report, kind of figure out who might have been out there and figure that out, because that is confusing. And you're as a taxpayer and a citizen, you don't care if there's an accident on the highway. You know, first of all, if a law enforcement stops by, they should have at least held on for a minute till the state police showed up.
But I'd like to talk to that deputy.
You know, it was mitigating circumstances. It was inclement weather. It was snowing. So you've got another issue you're dealing with. It wasn't like it was 90 degrees outside and traffic can zoom past you. You've got snow going on, so traffic is already moving slower than it was.
It was that snowstorm thing.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, we'll get that information to the sheriff, and they'll look into it, okay?
That's an interesting case. I'd like to look a little further into that.
Yeah, because at that point, if there was snow, that means all of law enforcement would have been moving slowly. That day, the response times would have been slower. Let me go to Jaxter right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing this afternoon, Amos?
We're fine. What's up?
Yeah, I would like to ask the sheriff. I know this is a city police problem. I called the city police about a month ago, and he was friendly. But when he got out of his car, he left his car in reverse. It backed into my car. I was trying to help him hold it back. Injured my shoulders, but the lawyer told me I didn't have to do it, so it wasn't no case for me. How that sound?
So you voluntarily helped the police officer keep the car from hitting your car, right?
I was trying to keep it from hitting my car. I didn't know he had left it first. I thought he had left it in neutral or something.
Have you talked with anybody at IMPD, either in internal affairs or professional standards?
Yeah, they got real nasty with me.
In internal affairs?
Yeah, I guess where you go report stuff.
No. No, this is a separate department. It's not where you go file, or not the complaint department necessarily.
Oh, okay. So I should have went to internal affairs.
Internal affairs.
The attorneys told me I didn't have to do that, but I was trying to be a friendly, helpful, pedestrian or what have you. But they told me, tough luck, you shouldn't have got out and tried to help the police.
Well,
that one's weird.
Yeah, it is.
I'm gonna go to internal affairs and see what they think about the situation. Y'all have a big old fine day to Jack's out.
I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. We will keep an eye, Sheriff Layton, on what's going on with this Senate Bill 2621. And all this other stuff, and maybe, you know, now that the word is getting out that the governor, you know, is not afraid of talking to Democrats and Republicans, and sitting down and breaking bread with them. Maybe the mayor will understand Republicans can do that.
Well, my door is open. My phone is always on the hook, just waiting for a phone call. I've put out that olive branch so many times, and I'm ready to sit down with anyone on that side of the street and talk about IMPD and the sheriff and putting things together, because that's exactly why we were put in these positions by the people of Marion County. Not any kind of feuds, not any kind of one-upmanship, but let's get the job done. I think we got enough problems. We don't need to be fighting amongst ourselves.
All right, Sheriff John Layton, Marion County Sheriff John Layton.